Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Toilets of Titles. My name is Justin Stevens, and for today, I got promoted into the big chair. And John is not with us this weekend, and most likely won't be with us next weekend either. But for this weekend, I get to be the guy with the added responsibility of not trying to screw this thing up. So, fortunately, I have a couple of wily vets, one old pro, one new pro, on with the show today. And we're going to have a guest that's going to pop in, hopefully around the halfway mark. And we're going to be talking Scott Fishbowl today, ladies and gentlemen. So before I get into all that, I do want to do a little bit of our promo stuff, the reads I got to do here. So just wanted to remind you guys that you can catch us all on Twitter, first of all. So on Twitter, we've got the Frito Bandito. Rich, you want to go ahead and throw up your handle there? At R. Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. Hey, follow me at R. Gonzalez RM. Excited about this episode and stuff like that, being the first year here joining on the Scott Fishbowl. Real excited to be talking about it.
Yeah, that was my fault. That was a really horrible intro. I couldn't remember the RM part. I always forget the RM part. And then, of course, we got Dirty Jobs Mike down at the bottom at Dirty Jobs 21. How's it going this morning, Dirty?
Not too bad. Just another Saturday morning. Loving it. Florida. I hear everywhere's really hot, and everybody's like, I bet it's really hot there. And I'm like, it's not. It's perfect all the time. I'm going to just take a long shot guess and say on February 23rd of 2022, it's going to be 70 degrees and sunny here where I live. Like, I can pretty much set my clock to that whole entire thing right there.
Right on. I thought there was going to be a punchline at the end of it. I was trying to think, February 23rd, is it a leap year? Is it a...
Nope, just all a random date.
And of course, guys, check out the show at Toilets of Titles. All the other people that are involved with the show, we've got a ticker that will scroll at the bottom during the show at some point. You can catch all their Twitter handles. Make sure you give us a listen on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Podbean, Facebook, Spotify. We really are all over the place, but when it comes to the Apple Podcasts, guys, we're really big on those 5-star reviews, because those 5-star reviews help with the algorithms to help get us put up a little bit higher on the chart when people are trying to Google for fantasy football information or NFL information in general. So as a matter of fact, I'm going to kind of intro a little bit of a segment here where we're going to read some 5-star reviews that we've gotten from listeners. This week's listener that we're going to throw in is from Lori83STE. She said, these guys work so hard on their show. They are authentic, genuine guys and have a variety of guests, which helps give a lot of perspectives. They're very knowledgeable, seasoned in fantasy football, and the banter is awesome. Absolutely recommended. So, Lori, we thank you very much for your support. This qualifies you to get an invite to the Frankenstank League that is building. This thing is becoming a monster. It's a 3-copy league. We're going to have 36 people in this league, and it just keeps growing. So you will get an invite for it if you would like, but this 5-star review gives you the opportunity to possibly get a free intro. So we're going to do that drawing later on after the dust has settled a little bit. So guys, if you're out there listening, get on Apple Podcasts, give us that 5-star review, leave a nice little comment for us, and you might be able to get in to the Frankenstank League for free as well. Also, make sure you hit that like and subscribe button down there at the bottom, again, to help us out. We do have our Patreon up now, patreon.com/toilettitles. We have 3 different tiers. Any tier you choose will get you into the group chat. The second tier, we go up from $3 to $5. You will get an entry into the Frankenstank League if you like, but you also get an early access to the waiver wire episodes that we're going to have in season. So that one's going to be pretty fun, because all of the guys that are on the show are all going to take turns doing a quick little waiver wire episode to drop early for our Patreons first. And then, of course, the $10 one will get you into the Frankenstank League for free, plus one-on-one roster analysis with any of the guys on the team that you choose. So just some things to think about, guys. So one last thing I want to promo before we move on to the show is the Trey Lance mini helmet giveaway. Guys, this is an incredible opportunity to not only donate a little bit of money to a good cause, the Tim Tebow Foundation, to help fight child trafficking. But also, it's relatively, when it comes to like lottos or whatever you want to call it, where we randomly choose a winner, once we get to $200 worth of donations, we're going to randomly draw a winner. It's a minimum of a $2 donation to the Tim Tebow Foundation, and you can DM us at Toilets of Titles or DM Coach Sheps at Coach Sheps, and he can go over some details on how to drop that donation to try to win this signed Trey Lance autographed helmet. Or email us toiletsoftitles@gmail.com, which we do not give that out enough on the show. We really should. So toiletsoftitles@gmail.com. I check it every day. I think that's pretty much it for all that. I do want to say that we are talking Scott Fishbowl today. So pretty excited. I believe all three of us are in Scott Fishbowl this year. Am I correct?
That is actually incorrect. I am not in this year. I don't know if I didn't get my sign up correct or anything like that. It's been a really weird year with the baby and everything like that. I'm okay with this. But you know me, I'm always going to be helping in that background of that, the Scott Fishbowl, any chance I can get. And I definitely, will be still doing that, even though I'm not going to be in it. And I'm sad, but I'm not sad at the same time. I'm like, yeah, it's way too fun not to want to go do it. But at the same time, it's pretty time consuming if you want to do it right.
Well, there's still
right, and honestly,
at the heart, have a chance.
What's that?
They're still sending out invites, so still might get one, Mike.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. That, like I said, I do enjoy it. I enjoy just the draft week and everything like that. After that, it kind of mellows out for me as far as my enjoyment of it. But the whole pageantry thing of it, man, I really enjoy that.
Yeah, exactly. The heart of it all is just, working up charities, boosting up charities, helping out charities, and then, of course, the camaraderie of all the other people involved in the industry that you get an opportunity to interact with, and you do plenty of all of that anyway. So that's good though. That's good. So I guess, Rich, since you're in it as well, let's talk a little bit about your position. Where are you at? Where are you drafting from? And do you have any kind of a game plan going into it?
Yeah. So I'm actually got the first, pick in the draft. So I'm in the, Def Leppard, division, so I'm excited about that. One of my favorite rock star bands of all time. So there have been a lot of batter going back and forth about who you want to take at first. Right now I'm leaning more towards QB, and just because of being a super flex league. And I'm actually in a mock draft with a whole bunch of guys that are involved this year, so we're in our fourth round. And I will say this, through four rounds, 16 QBs off the board. Now, I understand this is a mock draft, but that's kind of a tale of how things are looking at right now.
Yeah, if you pass up on QB at the 101, then you're slim pickings on the way back for sure.
Especially yeah, so when I'm that third round reversal.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. After that second pick, you don't get back to back in that second round. That's no. True. I didn't even think about that, but that was part of that third round reversal was part of the reason why I chose to draft somewhere in the middle. I went with the 8 spot. Part of the reason I chose the 8 spot is because I kind of had a top 6 quarterbacks in my mind that I felt were the 6 quarterbacks I would want in the first round. And then also Travis Kelce for that tight end premium or CMC to get the advantage at that number 1 running back spot. So there were 8 positions there. There were 8 guys there that I just absolutely wanted to have. And I would be cool if any one of those 8 fell to me at the 8. And then on the way back, I would get, a better second round pick than all those guys that drafted before me. And then on the third round reversal, it wouldn't really hurt me that much going from the 8 spot. So that was kind of my thinking going into it. Now, as far as strategy goes, for me, it's like, like I said, of those 8 that I have in mind, whichever one falls to me, I'm taking. And then that'll kind of dictate where I go from there. It obviously so much of it depends on how the draft falls, but yeah, pretty interesting stuff.
That's true. I guess one of my strategies is where I was thinking about the first spot is in the first spot, you get 4 picks within the first 37 picks. And to have 4 solid players, especially with it being a super flex, a lot of the running backs and receivers are going to drop down the board. So my strategy is, like I said, 4 picks in the top 37, you're going to have a good starting four core.
Right. Yep. Yeah, I don't think there's a bad spot to draft necessarily. It's all just preference, really, more than anything.
I prefer to draft late. I like the flip at the end. I feel like I get two quality players when I'm at the 11 and 12 spot, something like that. And especially the third round reversal does concern me in that position this year. But I feel like the guys you can get in that turn right there could be adequate enough to get you what you want to get done this year. You know what I'm saying? Like, you'll be able to build a team off of those two players. And then, because, I mean, once you get to the third and fourth round, heck, you're almost grabbing hopefuls anyways. I mean, you're grabbing hopefuls with high upside that have high opportunity, but they're still hopefuls. I mean, they can go out there and not give you anything of what you're expecting. So, I don't know. To me, that's kind of the gamble that I'd be willing to take I'd still like to draft late if I was drafting in it.
Yeah, I had the 12th spot last year, and I took Derrick Henry and Dak Prescott. So, ooh, had Dak stayed healthy, that actually would have been a pretty solid combo right there.
Right, absolutely.
But, I mean, obviously injuries are always going to be a part of it, no matter where you draft from. So, had they stayed healthy, though, like you said, that was a good tag right there.
So, with the first pick in this mock draft I'm doing, we're through four rounds. And here are my four picks. I did Mahomes at one. I got Aaron Jones at 2.12. And then with the flip around in the third and 12th, I got I went Metcalf, and then I went Derek Carr with my second QB off the board right there, as fast as they were going. Derek Carr in this format, with him not as much interceptions as more of the other people, seems to be a good fit. And his completion percentage is real good. So that's another thing that goes into the scoring as far as completions.
I always talk trash on Derek Carr, but Derek Carr is a very, very good Scott Fishbowl quarterback. That's not bad. I would suggest a tight end as soon as possible. Tight ends seem to always be
the board too. So
yeah, oh yeah.
Where did the first tight end? Where was it? Was it Kelsey? And where did he go? The first tight end.
Kelsey went number two.
That's
overall.
Yep.
Yeah.
I give him 101 credit. That's who I want if I'm the 101 in the Scott Fishbowl, is Kelsey. I feel like he's the guy who you want in every single season. He always tears it up in that format.
Well, yeah, because of the fact that he gets a point for every first down. I mean, he's huge in that situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be tickled to death if he falls to eight, but I doubt it.
At eight, in this mock draft that we're doing right now, Herbert went at eight.
Yeah. And that's my sixth quarterback out of those six that I had talked about. So if I end up with Justin Herbert, I'll be perfectly satisfied as my QB1.
I don't have a lot of faith in a second-year quarterback. I mean, I'm like, I don't know about this guy. He looked damn good last year, but I don't think he has the weapons that he had last year that he has this year. I don't know. I really feel like the Chargers are going to drop off pretty bad this year. I feel like Herbert's a guy you can get probably pretty cheap at the end of the season, and then he's going to come out and like third year, fourth year, tear it up.
Yeah, but he's my namesake, so he's a badass. So.
I hear what you're saying, Mike. I mean, they still have the to me, as far as offense wise, they didn't lose anybody. I mean, you still got Eckler, you got Allen. I mean, yeah, you lost Hunter Henry. I get that, but they got a good replacement in Jared Cook. So. Yeah. I mean, he ain't no slouch either and stuff like that. He'll fill in and stuff pretty adequate. My thoughts.
I mean, I'm not a big Jared Cook guy either. Yeah, I just don't see him being able to replace Hunter Henry anyways.
I don't even like him when he does play well.
Right.
it was the one short span of his career where he proved me wrong, so I didn't like that either. Yeah, so what about kickers, man? I love this twist where they're adding kickers, because I'm one of those kind of guys. I know that it's like sacrilegious to say in this industry anymore, but I love kickers. It's called football for a reason. Like, you have to have them involved, and I absolutely, like, any league I'm in that has kickers, I'm watching weather reports. I'm watching what kind of defense they're going against. I'm watching how conservative the the offenses that the players are, that the kickers are in, I'm constantly utilizing that waiver wire and dropping and adding kickers every single week in kicker leagues. Like, I love that aspect of it. But at the same time, this is more extra work I got to do every week as well. But what do you think about the kickers?
I'm not big on kickers. I mean, it depends on when at that point at the when you're drafting later on, are kickers more valuable than some of the players that you're going to be picking up at that point? So that's the only point where I'll be looking at one. You don't have to start a kicker, correct?
No, it's not a designated position, but you can flex them.
Yes. So I don't know. It just depends on at the, you know, maybe round 18 through 22 and stuff you're looking at and seeing. But by that time, a majority of the kickers that if they do go, the best ones are going to be off the board anyways.
I hate kickers. I've petitioned Roger Goodell for 6 straight years to remove kickers from the NFL entirely, as they don't add any value. If you get one, it's kind of like the tight end position, man. You get the one kicker that can get you 12 points a game, or you get the guy who might get you 4, might get you 3. And it doesn't suck until like week 13 when you have a huge week and then one of those guys comes out and gets like 25 points. And that's why you lose that week. That's when I want to light all kickers on fire. And I'm sorry if you're a kicker and you're listening to this right now. I truly apologize of my hatred for you. But to me, it is your fault. All that you do is kick a ball. Like, go get a job, man. Go get a job, kicker.
Okay. All right.
I hate kickers.
for any kickers that are offended right now, remember I still love you. So it's at Justin underscore. So listen to this though. I heard Scott Fish on a recent episode. Honestly, I don't even remember which episode it was or what show it was. I wish I did so I could give him credit, but he is on like every single episode everywhere right now talking about the Scott Fish Bowl. But he had mentioned that right now, if you look at the ADPs, or not the ADPs, if you look at the overall scoring from last year, there were 11 kickers in the top 150 players. And between 151 to 200, there's another 11 kickers. So I'm going to name some players down in that area that are being drafted in that area. Justin Jackson, let's see, Jalen Rager, some of these are kickers, Jared Cook, John Brown, Gerald Everett, Cole Kmet, Paris Campbell, Samaje Perine, Taysom Hill's kind of a bad example, I guess, but Nelson Aguilar, like all of these guys, Savad Ahmed, all of these, Damian Williams, all these guys are guys that are currently in that range between 151 to 200 that are like, it's such a toss up anyway. Like, is Damian Williams really going to outscore the 12th best kicker for that week? Probably not, especially with the point system. Like, the way it's being explained is if it's a 43-yard field goal, you're getting 4.3 points if they make it.
Correct.
Right. That can add up quick. If you get even a remotely accurate kicker and he gets 3 field goals, he's definitely going to score more than a Damian Williams. You know what I mean? Like, Paris Campbell will have to score a touchdown to keep up with that kind of points. Like, I can see myself – honestly, drafting 2 or 3 kickers before the 15th round, maybe even 1 or 2 before the 8th round, and that's going to be my flex spot, and I'm going to be perfectly happy with it. Kickers stay healthy a lot more than a lot of these other guys too. So, but that's, you know, that's me trying to get a kicker to come on the show.
No, I like that, but at that point, just with some of those names you said, I'd rather have Rager over a kicker. I'd rather have Nelson Aguilar over a kicker, because with Rager, look, I know he's a rookie last year and didn't produce to what everybody was expecting, but should have a bounce back year this. And I want consistency. If he'll give me 10 points every week, I'd be happy with that. I don't feel like a kicker is going to, unless you're drafting like one of those top 4, you're not going to constantly get 4 points. And then, I mean, 10 points a week out of a kicker and everything. You're going to get a 3, a 4, a 6 game week and everything. And I hate to have Rager on the bench score 15, 10, 12 points and stuff like that. And my kicker is sitting in there with only 8 points for the week, you know, or 6.
Yeah, I get that. But I also feel like that's only if you don't want to put the work into it to try to determine, because I'm not saying like, I'm not saying that the kickers I'm necessarily going to draft are the kickers I'm going to keep. I'm going to draft a few just in case they do become consistent early on. You never know which kickers are going to be consistent, but you do have a rough idea based on offenses, big high-powered offenses. You want their kickers. But my point is, yeah, Jalen Reagor. Let's use Jalen Reagor as an example. You still need to make sure that Hurts is going to be the quarterback that we hope and think he's going to be. But we don't know for sure. We still have to make sure that he's going to pan out in his second year as a wide receiver. We think he's going to, but we don't know that for sure. Like, there's still a lot of question marks with all these guys. And with kickers, like, you're not going to want to drop Jalen Reagor after week two or three if he's not performing to standard, because you spent that sixth, seventh, eighth round draft pick on him, and you want him to work out. But if it's just a damn kicker, like Mike said, you're not going to feel bad to kick him to the curb and go pick somebody else up. So that's kind of another way of looking at it, I guess.
I think Cole Kmet is my dark horse sleeper tight end of the year right now. I love Cole Kmet. But I do see what your point is. You know, I mean, especially if you're talking about dynamics like that, what you're going to have to do there and everything. For me, I would have to lean a kicker pretty early if we're talking point scoring like that, because – you're right, man. It shouldn't be hard for them to get about 10 points a game. Call it 10 to 15 should be relatively doable from almost any kicker. But you're going to have ones that are going to be doing, like Justin Tucker, man. I can't even imagine what his scores will be at the end of this format. I mean, that would be the 101 kicker for me for sure, because that guy kicks a lot of field goals, and he kicks a lot of long field goals too.
Yeah, and right now his current ADP is 162. He's being drafted right before Giovanni Bernard.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather have Justin Tucker than Giovanni Bernard. I can't think of a player I'd rather have less than Giovanni Bernard. I'm like, nope, he's out on me. I'm like, no.
Yeah, well, I mean, he is in Tampa Bay now, and you know, Tom Brady there might be the next James White. Who knows?
So based off of Scott Fish's scoring system this year for kickers, Greg Zuerlein is rated number one and is projected for about 148 points. Koo Young Hoo, 130 points at number two.
Young Hoku.
I apologize.
Yeah, no, you gotta say Young Ho any chance we get a chance, buddy.
Yeah, whether it's right or wrong.
Yeah, I think it's Young Wei if we're being honest, but I like calling him Young Ho.
That poor guy.
Hey, my last name's Darling. I don't want to hear it.
Hey, would you try to pronounce it correctly if you actually liked kickers? Probably not.
No.
No.
No, he might as well be a quarterback. He'd still be Young Ho.
Oh, Justin Tucker is rated 15 at all the kickers was projected stats for this year. Wow. And he's projected to do about 140 points.
Can you see what Giovanni Bernard is projected to do?
Actually can.
Get injured by week two.
I got to scroll down. I got to scroll down.
Or Jalen Reagor, for that matter, right? Since that's the guy we were using as an example.
Jalen Reagor, to me, he's a guy that if you're getting him that late, I love it. I think he's got some serious value.
Right. That's where you want that, for me anyway, being a guy that – has the idea of loving kickers for Scott Fishbowl, that's where the 1 or 12 pick would come in handy, where you have that back-to-back, where if you're going to take a kicker, you can still take a guy like that right along with them.
All right.
Bernard, 80 points, projected points, based off that scoring our scoring format. Reagor, we are looking at – where are you at?
I imagine him at least about 180 points. That's kind of where I had him on my rankings.
You said 180?
Yeah.
What do you think, Justin?
I mean, personally, I don't think he's going to score that much. I think maybe 160, 155.
139 projected points based off this format. They're projecting him for about, and like I said, it's a projection. So, take it with a grain of salt on everything, but –
That guy making that ranking just likes him less than me.
That's 812 yards. Reception.
What was that?
60 receptions for 800 yards, 6 touchdowns projection for this year.
Right on. Hey, real quick, before we have our guest come on here in a little bit, he's still not quite on the green screen just yet, or the green room just yet, but I want to get this knocked out of the way. Today's episode is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to primetimesportstalk.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, it's primetimesportstalk.com, your go-to spot for sports content. Real quick, I want to get into a couple of Patreon questions here. We do have our Patreon set up. I talked about it a little bit earlier in the episode, patreon.com/toylistedtitles. But Andrew Campy sent in a couple of questions I wanted to go over with you guys and kind of get your thoughts. But Andrew is a Patreon. He asked for us to discuss some players that we think are off of most people's radars and that we can go pick up anywhere. Not just Scott Fishbowl talk here, just in general. So dynasty, redraft, guys that are kind of off of everybody else's radar that we think that we might be able to go pick up for real cheap.
I apologize. I'm sorry. I lost what you said. I apologize.
Oh, okay. Now, our Patreon, Andrew Campy, he's asking for guys that we can go pick up for really cheap right now, guys that are kind of under everybody else's radar. So, like, for instance, for me, it's Blake Jarwin, and we all know that. I have that Blake Jarwin love. I send him DMs every day to try to – him and his manager to try to get him to come on the show, and I'm going to continue to do that until he's 80 years old and irrelevant and might actually feel. So for me, it's Blake Jarwin. He's coming back off of his injury, and his injury was early on in the season. I think he's going to be a dynamic target for underneath after all the other wide receivers are taking all the attention away for Dak. I just, especially for Scott Fishbowl, where you get that first down premium, I'm excited to get my Blake Jarwin in the 12th round, and I'll do a jiggy happy dance when I get him. So. Is there any players like that that stick out to you real quick? We'll get that knocked out. And I see Sal, see that down there in the green room. We'll get you on in just a moment, bud. I appreciate you. But what do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm going to steal Mike's thunder. Mine is Cole Kmet, where he's going in late drafts. I really love him with Justin Fields with the rookie there at Chicago. So. He's my still like late rounds. I mean, you could probably get him like around 12 through 15, depending on the format. If it's tight end premium, he's going to go up. I will also say another one that is kind of a sleeper and stuff, and a lot of people are talking about him, but he's just not getting drafted till later, is Goddard. He's another person that I really like. I'm sorry if I stole that one from you.
I was like, dude, if you stole both of mine, I'm going to yell at you. But nope, we're good. We're still clear.
Yeah, no, I definitely like Goddard, too. Look, I know we were talking earlier about Hurts. What is he going to do and everything? But I just think this year for Goddard is going to be that year.
Hey, if you guys didn't put it in the show notes, it's fair game.
Touche. you know, I still have guys that I still like. I've always been kind of a tight end guy, and that's always been my forte position, if you will. Anthony Firkser, like, this guy's going to be coming back this year. He doesn't have anybody ahead of him, and he looked really good towards the end of last season. I really think he's a guy you can get late that can produce really well for you. Mike loves tight ends. And the other guy I was thinking of was Trey Burton. You know, you've got Carson Wentz, who really likes to hit that tight end position up quite a bit. And people are getting Trey Burton pretty late, too. So, I mean, these guys are probably potential 3 for 33 people. But at the same time, I think you can get enough touchdowns out of them. You don't mind playing them week to week. So,
right on. Hey, Mike, why don't you go ahead and get Sal in here and give him a quick intro?
Excellent. Sal, what is happening, man? We've got Sal from the Fantasy Football Funhouse, as well as on the Daily DFS, joining us today. Buddy, how's it going? I think they call him the hand of the fish, I believe, because he's because he's Scott Fish's right hand guy there, the host of the Podathon. What is it that you don't do? Also, King of New York, aren't you? Like the King of New York as well?
I think Mike may be overstating all those things, but it was a late night and an early morning. Hence the sunglasses. I hope my connection's good, guys. I'm sitting in my car outside of a friend's house.
Yeah, no worries. Loud and clear, bud.
I would say Ryan McDowell's Scott's right-hand man, but I take that as a nice compliment. I'm happy to be a part of anything to do with SFB. The pod-a-thon has grown into something just amazing. We're going into year four of the show. I've said this last year after the show, I was hoping by year five we'd kind of hit stride with that show, and year three it blew anything I hoped we would see in year five out of the water. So it's just a fun time of the year. I've been listening to you guys as I drove over to do so. I committed to redoing my friend's bathroom every Saturday, so that's why I'm here outside of his house. So shout out to Josh, who, by the way, him and his wife are integral in setting up the toys for Todd's shopping I do every year.
Oh, that's awesome.
Here on Long Island. So that's why I'm happy to help him do some work at the house. Yeah, listening to you guys doing all the Scott Fishbowl talk, I'm like, man, I'm so behind on actual Scott Fishbowl preparation because of all the stuff at the pod-a-thon. It's kind of like it hinders me. I'm always on the clock when I'm live on the show, too, getting yelled at by people. Hey, what are you doing? Well, just doing a 24-hour charity show. But thanks for having me today, gents.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Thanks for joining us, man. It's an exciting time of year, like you were saying, man. It's fun when everybody gets all wrapped up in it and everything. I mean, we're talking like around 2,000 people, right, that end up getting into this thing and competing and everything like that. And it's all for a good cause. And then, so tell us a little bit more about the 24-hour pod-a-thon. When is it? Where is it? What are people looking for there, and what are we going to be doing?
Yeah, so we always like to, in some way, shape, or form, be on the air when the drafts kick off. So it's always been either Sunday into Monday, or the first year it was Monday into Tuesday. It's going to be Monday into Tuesday again this year because Sunday is 4th of July. So July 5th at 9 a.m. Eastern time, we kick off, and drafts typically kick off, I believe, at 10 a.m. I don't know if that's different this year. Scott might have changed it. But we'll be on the air the entire day, starting at 9 a.m. on Monday, July 5th, through Tuesday morning, July 6th at 9 a.m. So we'll definitely be on whenever the drafts do kick off this year, because I don't know if he changed it. I don't think he did. And we're going to have the biggest and the smallest names in fantasy football industry. It's what we do every year. We get the big guys like Matthew Berry, Matt Harmon, Mike Wright, who's always been just amazing to me and to us. He's on vacation this year, so he won't be with us. But we have the big names like that, and then we have the small guys, you know, guys like myself. I consider myself a small guy in this industry. I'm just like you guys on Twitter and grinding with the podcast and doing that type of stuff. And I want to make sure we always include those guys and girls as well, because I consider us the backbone of this industry, the backbone of the community. The big names are amazing, and the fact that they give us the time and the fact that they donate what they donate is amazing. But if we didn't have the small people who are every day in that community talking and retweeting and just really building each other up, we wouldn't be what we are. So I make sure I give them excellent time slots, like 2 a.m., 3 a.m., you know, stuff like that.
That was awesome. You know, I mean, most of these guys will take what they can get, I'm sure. I mean, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., still something that they certainly appreciate. I mean, just because of the exposure that they get out of it. And what an amazing community to be a part of at the end of the day, too. You know, I mean, that's one thing I've always really loved about it. I like that more than I like even drafting. I mean, everything about fantasy football has become so secondary to me. And just being involved in everything has been like the primary forefront. That's what kind of drives me anymore. And just because of cool people like yourself, you know, I mean, guys that are just willing to give. Because, man, I know what you do for a living. I know how busy you are, man. It's crazy that you can even dedicate to one show, let alone two shows, and then still do something like this. Man, I just can't even imagine. Like, I don't even think you probably sleep, do you?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm getting older, so I try to sleep a little bit more. But I actually switched jobs last year after 20-plus years of doing construction-type work, engineering stuff, mostly in hospitals. I took on an administrative role in emergency management for a hospital. So you can only imagine how busy emergency management has been during a pandemic,
oh,
right?
Man.
So it wasn't like the wisest choice to make mid-pandemic, because we get one of those like once every century. So it has been busy. It's been real busy. I try to go to gym at 5 a.m. every morning. I'm trying to live a little bit longer, stay a little bit healthier. So sleep has definitely been something that's gone out the window. But I love it. Like I wouldn't change getting the opportunity to do this. And again, like you said about the community, and I'm not on Twitter the last 6 months the way I had been the last 6 years because of that job and the fact that I just don't have the time in the daytime to be on it. Plus, it may or may not be a government position where I'm, my social medias might be getting watched. So I'm just not there as much as I used to be. But everybody's still treated me like, you know, amazingly. And it's just an amazing amount of support for this show and the way it builds and to know that I'm a part of that. Like, hey, I got an amazing opportunity. Scott Fish received the Game Changer Award at the FSGA, and I was asked to be a part of the video presenting it to him. And I'm like, I'm looking at the group of people. It was the Ballers, Matthew Berry, Heath Cummings, and Salito. I'm like, all right, listen, I may or may not belong there, but I'm jumping in. It's just, I've got some great opportunities. A lot of it goes back to Scott. Scott got me get a writing job at Fanball, and I did that for a little while. Scott used to invite me on the Fanball Weekly Show on SiriusXM, and that was, so I owe a lot to Scott for helping get me really ingrained in this industry. So, yeah, again, getting to do this, represent him is phenomenal.
Yeah, but if you're looking at just the names alone, though, I pulled you up here in the solo layout just so everybody could see your information a little bit better. But if you're looking at names alone, though, Salito, that is a name that says I'm gonna get shit done. Like, so you've at least got the name to go along with all those other guys.
Yeah, so that's why I named my son the same thing. I'm hoping he gets shit done too.
There you go.
That's a nice compliment. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Hey, so do you have an idea of some of the guests that you guys do have lined up for the Podathon that maybe we should be watching for?
Yeah, I wish I grabbed that. I might actually have that notebook right here in a bag next to me. But we start off the first 30 minutes. We're going to come in with. So I hosted with my two co-hosts from the Funhouse, Steve and Kevin. So the first half hour will be us three, Scott, Ryan, and John Bush. And then Jamie, the winner of last year's SFBX. We always like to get the reigning champion on early to throw down the gauntlet, let people know, hey, this is the title. He'll have his belt with him. Come get me, right? So that'll be the first 30 minutes. Then we go into RotoViz with Curtis Patrick, who and Dave Caban, who I went to work for them last year. On a Daily DFS podcast on Wednesday nights with TJ Calkins and Matt Jones. So it's great to have those guys on early. And then we roll along with Heath Cummings, Matthew Berry's on at 11 o'clock the first day, Eric Moody. We have Ray GQ is on nice and early. And, you know, I say this, we shouldn't have to say this, but I will say this. I wanted to emphasize diversity in fantasy football this year. So you're going to see a lot of minority faces. You're going to see a lot of female faces. You're going to see a lot of different faces. And I say this bluntly because it's true. I've looked back in the past podathons, there's been a lot of white male faces. And I come from a background where I love everybody. I love everything. I have no prejudices of sexual preferences, races, anything. And I wanted to make sure that was emphasized this year in this show because this community is expanded beyond that. And the faces, men and women, should be represented for the work that they're doing. Is some tremendous people from all different kinds of backgrounds doing tremendous work in the fantasy football industry. And I want to make sure that was emphasized this year.
That is awesome right there. You know what I mean? Good time for that kind of stuff because it's so easy to do the opposite. You know what I mean? And a person, you get into these trends and you don't even realize that they're trends. And I mean, you've got people that are sitting there watching these trends happen, and man, they feel real excluded and things like that. And it doesn't take long to start figuring out that, you know, we do have a necessary problem right here, and this, we need a solution here. And what a better group to tackle it, in my opinion, man. This community can rise up against any kind of a challenge, and this is probably one of the biggest ones humanity's ever faced, right? I mean, it's probably the longest struggle that we've ever had is trying to learn how to accept each other for who we are and what we are. How strange is that? We really shouldn't be that difficult to just say, hey, man, you know, you're going to do your thing. I'm going to do my thing. Let's just all be happy. And I don't know why that's such nonsense or such a hard thing to achieve, but it's really cool, like I said, to see something like that happen. And especially, you know, especially for the women in this industry, the women in this industry have a tough time. You just see them tweet one thing and it's like, 10 belligerent comments right in a row. It's always associated with what they look like and not what their content is. And that's just, I mean, to me, what a travesty, because these people have so much to bring in. I've seen a lot of these women just exit right on off the stage because they just can't handle that constant pressure of being sexually, you know, harassed basically the whole entire time for any single thing that they do. It's never their content. It's always about their look, and it's just unfortunate. So really glad you're doing this year, Sal. That really makes me happy that you got that kind of a focus going.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to be, you know, up front too, I have a 21-year-old gay daughter who's just out of college and entering the work field, and she couldn't be a more confident, a hard striving individual. Like, she's like a hero to me. Like, you know, it's bringing tears to my eyes to think about it, because I'm just so proud. Yeah, I'll do this so nobody sees.
Yeah,
I'm just so proud of who she is, and to watch her have to enter that industry, or industry in general. I couldn't be prouder. So she's like a hero to me, and she gives me the drive to want to help, you know, all kinds of people, you know. And it's just amazing. And unfortunately, she'll be moving out to LA soon and leaving me, but it's pretty cool.
So. Yeah. I feel that, man. I feel that, Sal, because I have a 20-year-old gay son that I wish I could say was just out of college, but he actually just changed his major, so we got a few more years. But that kid, man, he's got his head on his shoulders, so much better with finances. So, like, he's just better at being an adult than I am. Like yeah. I'm starting to look up to this kid. Like, it's so weird. but yeah, no, I feel that to my core. So, I had a couple other questions lined up for you, Sal, but honestly, it was about like Scott Fishbowl strategies and stuff. And you've already said that you haven't really gotten into all that. So
you could ask him. I played it for, this is my seventh year. So, I mean, nice. The score is not much different than last year, other than the kickers. Right. So no, fire away with your questions. I'm good.
Well, honestly, I did have something else that popped up to mind whenever you were talking. Is there a way for other people out there right now watching that might want to get involved with the Scott Fishbowl Podathon as far as like sponsorships or donations or whatever, like anything like that? Like what could they do if they wanted to help out?
Yeah. So Mike has actually been helping us behind the scenes this year. He offered volunteered to give some of his time. He's off around the clock with his own little baby. So, and by the way, happy Father's Day to you guys and everybody who's watching.
Absolutely.
Who's going to be celebrating Father's Day this weekend. Yeah, I mean, we're 2 weeks away, right? Monday is going to be 2 weeks for when we kick off. And the guys have been doing an amazing job. Dave Wright is that FF Spaceman, I believe, is his handle. And Daddy's Home. Mike has been – those guys have been helping to lead the charge. Dark Bob Gilchrist as well. Find those guys on Twitter. You can reach out to them, ask them if there's anything we do. I think we're kind of rounding out the sponsorships. We're almost pretty much full. And we're starting to be almost complete with the schedule. I have a few people to slot in, bigger name people. And I don't want anybody to feel like they're ignored or left out. It fills up quickly. I got a lot of people in the DMs that I have to get back to. And if I can figure out a way to squeeze them in, even with other people, I'll do that. So you see my two Twitter handles on the screen, Salito FF and SFB Podathon. Hit me up in the DMs there. No guarantees, but if I can, I will. And we always have surprises as we get closer to the show. Last year, Shane Battier popped in. He called on my cell phone. And I just put it up to Mike, and we did 10 minutes with Shane, which was unbelievable. This year, he's booked for a full 30-minute spot. Now, he's not an easy guy to communicate because, of course, he's Shane Battier. So I'll remind him, but there's always a chance that Shane maybe forgets because he's got a lot of things going on, and that 30 minutes might open up. So I haven't had too many people forget about their spots or not be there the day of the podcast, but it is possible. So don't give up the fact that you might get called in, you know, out of the bullpen to jump on. But yeah, just contact us on Twitter, DMs. I answer. It might not be immediately, but I will answer.
Well, what about just donations then? Like, maybe is there like a fantasycares.com? Is that an actual website?
So it's fantasycares.net is actually Scott's website. And what Scott has done last year, and he's continuing it this year, is with everything that's gone on in the country, COVID-related and social justice-related, and people have a lot of things they want to donate to that not necessarily going to just be Toys for Tots. So what Scott has said is, hey, you could donate to us, but also go donate to what inspires you. So in the name of SFB, right? So go make your donation as John Smith in honor of Fantasy Cares, right? And then send Scott that screenshot or whatever. He'll retweet it and acknowledge it. So while we raised, I don't know, we raised $42,000 on the Potathon last year. John Bosch was in the 20s. Let's say the grand total was like 70-something thousand last year that we spread out for Toys for Tots and Social Justice Initiative, Equal Justice Initiative, rather. There's probably upwards of 100,000 that went to other charities in the name of Fantasy Cares. So I will be opening up the Potathon pool by Monday. The issue I have this year is I've done it through PayPal, and they have money pools, but they kind of changed it up this year with charity pools and giving a percentage of the money. We're trying to keep as much of the money as we get to make sure it goes out the torch. With that, it's becoming increasingly harder to do that because everybody wants to take their piece of it. So the reason it hasn't been opened yet is I'm doing every kind of background search I can to open up a pool that's going to make sure we take as much of that money that you as the community donate and get it to Toys for Tots or get it to wherever we decide to spread it around to this year. So again, follow Potathon page and my page and you'll see the donation links for that for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, okay. So one actual Scott Fishbowl strategy question then. And it doesn't even have to be the strategy, I guess. Do you like kickers? Are you on my side or are you on Mike and Rich's side here?
So I was listening when you guys were talking about this, and I'm a former college soccer player who still doesn't like kickers. But in this format, and as a super flex, if you can, I have the 101, by the way. So maybe I'll take Greg Zuerlein after Rich said that I think he's going to be the projected number one kicker, right, in this format. Yes, that heard? So maybe at 101, I just freak everybody out by taking Greg Zuerlein. I think I'll have a kicker or two. And listening to some of the comparisons of the players, I also agree that Jalen Reagor should have a bounce back this year. So I like him there. There was somebody else you got mentioned who I would probably take a kicker over. I don't know if it was Giovanni Bernard, because I agree. He could play a James White role in Tampa. There's not going to be any favorites in Tampa with Tom Brady as the quarterback, because we saw that in New England. He's going to say, this is who I want in my backfield. So if Giovanni Bernard, who we know can catch the ball, gets the opportunity, he could have his best fantasy season ever this year. Is it a guarantee? No. But I would take that risk over a kicker.
Is that 16 points? Right? Doesn't he only have to get 16 points to beat his best fantasy season ever? I'm just kidding.
Maybe it's 18. Maybe it's 20. But yeah, so I would say I'm in the middle. I'm not going to go out of my way to get. You said something about by the eighth round, Justin. That's probably too rich for my blood. But you know, somewhere in early teen rounds, I could see going for a kicker. But listen, it's another thing. I listen to what Rich said before about having a good core four, right? Last year, I had the 101 also. Now, I never asked for a draft slot, so I ended up 101 because I think Scott thinks that benefits me, but I don't ask for a draft slot ever. I like to get it, be surprised, and work with what I got. That's just how I go. I don't love having 101 this year, I'll be honest. But last year, 101, I took McCaffrey. We know what season he had. In the third round, I took Ertz. We know what season he had. In the fourth round, I took Le'Veon Bell. In the fifth round, I took Juju. These guys didn't have the seasons we expected, right? I made the playoffs. I made the playoffs. Wow. Because I got Justin Herbert in the 60th round. I had Derek Carr, who you guys pointed out is great in its format. So what I'm saying to you is, obviously, you want to get those players, those studs, early. But there's going to be opportunity to get players that make a difference later, and it might be a kicker this year. It didn't hurt that I spent a lot of money on James Robinson in the first waiver run last year once I saw that McCaffrey was already a little banged up. So I got him. So, again, things could change. Do things different. Zig when people zag. The Scott Fishbowl is a different animal. So you have to do Kelsey at 101, man. Maybe I'll do it. Maybe I'll do it because I haven't decided – who I'm taking right now. There's a lot of talk in a 101 chat, and I don't think that I'm blowing it the spot for any of the 101 guys, because we pick first, guys. We're not So it's you know, it's Mahomes and McCaffrey right now. That's the talk.
Yeah, I tell you what, though, if you like, if word got round to the Twitter world that Scott Fish's right hand man took a kicker with the 101, that would start an incredible 2-round run with the first 2 rounds of people overreacting, thinking that the kickers are going to be so much more valuable. I mean, that would be incredible to watch. Like, Twitter would just blow up. Kickers' ADPs all over every single platform would just skyrocket.
You know, what's awesome, Justin, is obviously I'll be live on Spotify when it happens, right? So it would spread pretty quickly. On the 101, right. I'll be picking live on air without a doubt. So it would spread. Listen, maybe for some fun, we might have to talk about this.
Oh, that would be incredible. Well, man, I know you you said you had about 15-20 minutes for us, so I'm sure you want to go back in there and get that bathroom remodeled. I mean, what a good thing to be doing when you come on Toilets to Titles, though.
Bathroom breaks, baby. Bathroom breaks.
Today we're up to wall tile, gentlemen. I should just run a video like this old house.
There you go.
On the walls tonight.
So. We're doing Toilets to Titles today. No.
You seem more like a Holmes on Holmes sort of guy to me, though.
I love Mike Holmes, man. That show's great. I was blue collar my whole life, man. I'm a blue collar guy, and I love the tradesmen in this country. I love the backbone. Again, I spoke about the backbone of the fantasy community. I believe the tradesmen are the backbone of this country, and I don't know that they get enough love and respect. And now I switched over. I wear a tie during the week now. Look, it's in my car. But I get to do this on Sunday and Saturdays now is my go back to my roots. But guys, thank you so much for having me on. Thank you for getting a word out about the SFB Podathon and the charities. And I'll definitely be tweeting out the link to this. But I had a lot of fun. I think you guys did a great job before I came on. I don't get to watch and listen to everybody, even my friends in the industry, as much as I'd like to. But you guys are doing a good show here. Had a good job, and really appreciate it. I come back any time of the season. You want to give me a shout? Maybe I'll be outside of somebody else's house. I don't know.
There you go. Sounds good, man. Well, thanks again for joining us, and make sure you guys go give him a follow at Saletto FF or at the SFB Podathon. And thanks again for joining us, man. And enjoy the rest of your weekend. And happy Father's Day once again, bud.
Yes, sir. Same to all you guys. Be well.
Outstanding. Yeah, that's. That was a pretty incredible interview. Thank you, Mike, for setting that up, man. That's that was pretty cool stuff. So
yeah, you know, that guy's been a good buddy of mine for a couple of years now, and he's just a legend, man. I really like Sal a lot. I've always been a big fan of his.
Man,
yeah, I can see why.
So I really hope he goes a kicker at first round so I can see everybody. I might postpone my first pick until he makes his pick and see where he goes.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. Let's see. I do want to touch bases on one more thing real quick with the Patreon questions. I told Andrew we would ask the second question as well. He wants to know if there's players out there that we absolutely can't quit, like we just cannot give up on them. And I know that Nate in our chat had mentioned Kelvin Harmon. I'm not really sure if that was a joke or not, but Nate, if you're not joking, I think it's time to let go. And then John, kind of the same thing with Darwin Thompson. Like, I know he's talented and all, but he's so deep on that depth chart. It's unbelievable. But do you guys have anybody that comes to mind that you just absolutely can't quit?
I don't want to even say his damn name out loud because he's burned me for like 8 years in a row now. Maybe not that many. But Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon's a guy that I feel like can get out there, get some damage done. Boy, if he can stay healthy. But, man, that if is becoming such a hanging thing that holds over Joe Mixon that I really think you'll start seeing him late second, early third, especially if he has a bad year this year. He's going to be free. And it might be because there's a reason for that. He might just not be a valuable fantasy player, but – I can't quit the guy. I can't quit you, Joe Mixon. I can't quit you, man.
Yeah, how about you? That's a great question. It goes back to that motto, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, or you know what I'm going at. Shame on you.
Never trick a tricker.
Yeah. So I've always been where I fall in that for the first 2 years. And after that second year, I'm done with you and everything. And so on that list is Geis. Mixon, those, I mean, just those top two top on top of my heads and everything. Now, I was a Darwin. I had held on for him for 2 years, and I was like, no, I'm done with that one too. Another one that pops in my head is a running back from Baltimore. I can't think of his name. Justice Hill. He's another one that I was holding on to, thinking something was going to happen, and I, you know what? Not this year again.
So maybe this is why you're better at fantasy football than me, because after 2 years, you can let go. And for me, after 2 years, I still have Paris Campbell everywhere and Blake Jarwin and all the guys that I still absolutely love.
Yeah, he just read off like my entire taxi squad of every single dynasty team I have.
I mean, I think I might even still have some Todd Heap somewhere, and he retired like 3 years ago. Right on. So, hey, Andrew's guy was in Kill Harry. He said that he still can't give up on Kill Harry. But just to throw that out there, guys, if any of you are interested in joining our Patreon, you get into the Patreon chat. And if you have any questions that you want us to read on the show, we will absolutely do that for you. I believe that's really all we have for today, unless you guys have anything else you want to throw in there.
Draft kicker at number one.
Draft kicker at 101. And just another shout out to the fathers out there. You guys doing a tough job, doing a hard job, dealing with teenagers, dealing with kids, dealing with babies, dealing with all of that stuff, man. And make sure you celebrate your guys' day out there. Do something fun. Enjoy you. Celebrate you. We don't get a whole lot of recognition, so. And I mean, who needs it? But we do. We'll do it either way. But it's kind of nice to at least maybe go fishing with a beer in our hand or something like that.
Or go golf.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, Mike. Try to be a good father for your own benefit.
That's it right there. That's it right there.
that's why dads don't get a whole lot of credit. We probably don't deserve it.
Right. That's a fact right there. We do the same thing as everybody else, and we want all these perks and benefits.
So, hey, real quick, Justin, before you get us going, Father's Day is actually the 20th celebrated holiday as far as ranking. So I think Mother's Day is like third overall and everything as far as celebrating, which should be and stuff like that. Should be number one. But just so you know, hey, make sure you celebrate your fathers and everything, because based off a ranking, Father's Day is like the 20th ranked celebration and stuff like that. I think there's some names on the list that get celebrated high, and I don't even know what it is.
Talk like a Pittsburgh Pirate Day.
There you go.
Like that. I tell you what, though, if fathers want – the Father's Day holiday to be more honored, then we need more fathers to step up and make it more deserving, because we got a lot of pretty bad fathers out there, and it would help out a lot if we could all step up and be good dads, and then maybe people would want to celebrate us a little bit more. So
there you go.
Well said.
But I also want to remind everybody our team-by-team breakdowns, just to throw it out there. These last two team-by-team breakdowns have gone over really well. We've got the Jaguars breakdown has been our number one hit of all the breakdowns for some reason. I have no idea. And we had Steffi Smalls and Nikki Snacks and our very own Joe Clark come on for the Giants episode recently. The bathroom breaks episodes are killing it, which – I tell you what, Rich, your bathroom break with Julio, I did a bathroom break with Carson Wentz. I'm only one view behind you, buddy. I'm coming up on you hard.
Yeah, so you've got a lot more followers. You're a legend in this industry right now.
I'm still working my way to it. Well, I'm going to try to share that Colts one again, and then if you try to share the Julio one, I'm going to make sure to take that tweet down and change the password.
All right, well, I'm still doing my shot to get the Raiders back up on top too, so –
There you go. I'm okay with that. And because we have the Colts episode tomorrow night on Father's Day, so that one will be creeping up on your Raiders episode pretty soon too. And I wish we could brag about Mike's Broncos episode, but he fell asleep during it. So
the one time since November, man. What are the odds of that happening? I'm like, everybody wanted to just, they're like, oh no, we'll let him sleep this time. I'm like, where was this attitude like 20 other times? But
maybe I'll have to get you on the Buffalo Bills episode instead, since you're a big Josh Allen fan, and all of your fellow Broncos fans on Twitter seem to think that you're more of a Bills fan than a Broncos fan anyway.
They may be right. There's a lot of love for Josh Allen that really hinders my love for the Broncos. So it's tough. It's hard, man. It's a brown and gold thing. I always tell them it's a brown and gold thing. Wyoming Cowboys.
Well, as of right now, I only have TTP_Charlie, which I sought him out because he has TP in his Twitter handle. You know, that's fitting for our show. And then the Air Raid Hour with the Bills is coming on. So I got room to fit you in there for that.
Oh, count me in for sure. Just pencil me in right now. I'm in.
Right on. Sounds good. All right. Well, everybody else out there, thank you very much for tuning in. We really appreciate you guys. This next week's episode, I'm just going to give you guys a heads up. It might be a little different, a little bit unorthodox. I think there's a good chance I might be trying to get Nate to drive the bus again. He did an incredible job filling in for us a couple weeks ago. John's going to be out again, and I found out recently there's a chance I might have to miss this next week's episode. So we might do it on a weeknight this week. So, just to throw all that out there, I kind of just found all this out yesterday. But for you you viewers out there, if we can't get you Saturday morning like we normally do or Friday evening, then I promise we'll at least get one good, solid episode in at some point this week. So thank you very much. Enjoy the Scott Fish Bowl. Thanks again to our guests. Absolutely incredible show. Appreciate you guys.